What's up, everyone? It's Tweak or Gavin.
Mix, holy crap, it's markets are pink still. Got him.
Oh dang, now I get the option select here. You got Haz or Matt. What's going on, guys? Before we jump in today, before we show the patreon.com/tweaktalks, by the way, just saying, before we talk about Limpitationals or Invitationals or Spargo and Leo again, Bonito Harbor, or obviously Cirque du CFL, great tournaments this weekend. I missed last week. And I was thinking about my boys this week. I just want to give you guys shout outs. Marcus, you've been killing it at the home front. Father of the year, husband of the year. It is what it is, either way. Still godlike to talk to about Smash. Still one of my favorite people. Whenever you DM me on Discord, I know I'm gonna laugh. Like that's just one of my favorite. Like you crack me the fuck up. I had nice things to say about Charles, but he's not here. But I'll still give him his flowers. But I think like you guys have figured it out in chat land. But Charles is like making sacrifice plays, like moving out of a gamer house with Void and Phil, like having the time of his life in SoCal and moving home to take care of his mom, and really setting up to take care of his family long term. Really respect the hell out of that. And I wish he was here to hear. I know he knows this. Like I tell him this one on one all the time. But since I wasn't here last week, I was just thinking about you guys. So shout out to Charles for that. And then Gavin, shout outs to always showing up, man, and showing me how difficult it really is to compete at this game at a top level. Like it's not. People are like, oh, you just show up, like you hit your combos and you win tournaments or you don't. Like someone just plays better than you or doesn't. Like losing and having to face the consequences of that really fucking suck. And like there's a lot of eyes on you and a lot of pressure. I just want to give you a thumbs up and shout out for your perseverance and ability to always show up and teaching me a thing or two about how hard it is to compete in these games. So yeah, I was just thinking about my guys this week, especially since I was off last week. So just want to start off with a little positivity and say I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it, bro. What the heck? What I did not expect.
Oh no, I was
Yeah,
thinking.
no, it came out of nowhere.
I was like, I want to start the show off on a positive step without like, because we always do the same shit. We do the Matt or Haz, like you know, it's hilarious. You know, we're hilarious.
When he said his usual, I didn't think he was gonna come with any mix, but he kind of did.
I did. Yeah, I'm sad Charles isn't here to hear it either. But either way, we're gonna keep going. It was actually I had a fantastic time watching Smash this weekend. I don't know about you guys, but there were a couple of great tournaments on. I didn't watch Bonito Harbor at all, and I couldn't find the VODs. And I was talking to Marcus about that because I went to download them this morning or like pull them up this morning. Couldn't find them, but I did see some sick clips of Leo's Joker, which is always appreciated. But I was pretty much glued to the CFL tournaments this weekend, whether it was Litvitational earlier in the weekend, and then obviously Cirque du CFL. I always think of Light calls it Cirque du CFL, and I always think of that every time I think of the name of it, Cirque du CFL. Three happened this weekend, which was also great. And I had so many, I don't know. I was just back in Smash and it felt really good after taking like a week off. So it was
Yeah.
nice to be back at it.
I guess first off, shouts to Charles. He's not here, but based on, backpacking off what has said, genuinely the hardest working person I know. Like
Same.
he is a hard worker. So shouts to Charles. He's helped the podcast in so many ways. He's helped all of us in so many ways. He's helped me he was my official coach at one point. But yeah, shouts to everyone. Shouts to Chris, always helping us with the show.
Go.
Marcus always helping me with Smash. And has just, I don't know, he brought the positivity, so I gotta try my best to match it.
Girl, true, because I was, man,
Thanks for everything, y'all. I appreciate it.
life been stressful. I was like, life really been life recently, and I was not trying to, but now he came through with the positivity. I'm like, ooh, it's time to smile. Like now I'm over here. Ooh, we're excited.
It's
I
kind
thought
of
that was some smash brothers.
it's you said life is lifing, like same 1,000% for me, and it just felt so good to have a weekend to just chill and enjoy some Smash, to be honest with, like to be back in the Smash universe and not in like the real universe where I'm like doing other shit, you know, that's like not quite as fun. And so watching Smash, so yeah, I definitely appreciated it, and I love being back, obviously, on the podcast. I missed it last week. Sad I
Yeah.
missed Larry too. I love that guy, as I think everyone does.
Good old Larry.
Good old Larry. That's a way to
And
say it.
yeah, good job mentioning the Patreon. The Patreon's been doing really well over the last couple of days. We got a bunch of patrons, so I appreciate that. We have new content all the time.
Oh
Our
shit. Speaking of Charles carrying the show, we don't have a topic picked out yet. Do we have good questions this
Oh.
week?
Oh, for the Patreon.
Yeah.
It's all good. We'll come up
We
with one probably
can talk about
mid-episode.
Collision coming up, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, W. Yeah. Okay, cool.
We're going to
Collision
talk about the
Patreon
tournaments that
content.
happened. on this show. We'll talk about Collision coming up on the Patreon bonus.
Yeah, our how are you feeling about it?
Our last bonus content was with Larry. So if you're interested in seeing us chat with Larry, me and Charles, actually, we talked about top five players for 2024. So
that's a good one.
But yeah, let's get into it. I didn't really watch anything but Cirque, to be honest. I kept up with the general results of everything, but there was a lot of Smash to watch. That Friday was a great introduction, just a full bracket, and then into the actual Saturday, Sunday of Cirque. Just a lot of Smash, dude. Really inspiring in a lot of ways. For me, like, before we went live, we were talking about our personal MVPs of the weekend. For me, I'm always supporting Mute. Like, it feels like an adjacent kind of play style and player. So if Mute and his Peach can do well, it always feels like I can do well, Diddy. So shouts to Mute. And shouts to Peebnut as well. Like, I think Mega Man's one of the coolest characters in the game. I think Peebnut's one of the coolest players in the game. Very faithful to Mega Man, very optimistic, has taught me a lot about Mega Man and just Smash in general. What a run.
Bro,
beating Mia at one point, just saying.
3-0 in losers, 3-0ing Shuton, game five against Mia, and then 3-0ing Zomba, which we all know how Zomba felt about that matchup going into
it. Zomba wins this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and he only lost it to Buzz, too. And the first time, it was a 3-0, and then the last time, it was a Game 5. So it's like,
he's doing something, bro. Game 5 in losers?
Yep.
The Buzz had to really make a decision going into that Game 5. Like, do I go Rosa, blah, blah, blah. Like, some tough decisions. And for Levitational 2, shouts to Aaron. Aaron took a set off of Zomba in his groups, and I've been losing to Zomba quite a lot, so that was another dose of faith for me. So he also beat Ashimo in his groups as well. Crazy game five. So yeah, I had a lot of fun watching. That was just the tip of the iceberg, but those were some of my highlights. And I think we have a big general conversation when it comes to the winner of the tournament for Shattuck as well, because it's more than just this tournament win. It's kind of basically an introduction to probably many more to come kind of thing. Shattuck's young, been playing for a long time already, and has clearly been improving at a good rate. Lots of good performances, and getting a good win is just this show's been around so long that we've gone through this. We talked about Sonics. We talked about Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about all these players where they hadn't won quite yet, but we were basically assuming that their time would come, and when it does come, it's going to be there to stay. And with Shattuck, it's kind of obvious. This is just not our first rodeo, regardless of talking about it on a podcast. When a player makes a certain type of impact and all that, you kind of know that their big win will come, and you kind of know that they'll stick around. Like, it's just pretty obvious. So it's more than just Shattuck's win, which was incredible, of course. Like, it's kind of setting a foundation for a couple years. You know what I mean? Not saying he's going to win every tournament ever. It's more so like he's going to have to be in that conversation. You know what I mean?
Did we cover, because I always think of his first big, like the first time I ever heard of him was when he beat Cosmos with Corrin. Remember before Corrin? I think it was before Corrin.
That was a Collision, right?
I'm not sure.
Like 2 years ago at Collision?
It was a while ago.
But maybe, longer than that, man.
Yeah, maybe three.
For me, I just think of like more recent, like lots of sevenths, lots of close sets that he could have won, or just lots of good runs, and you know he's gonna break it, and he has been breaking it. Like I even chatted with him a little bit about it. Like, I don't know, like during Genesis top 8, I just told him like I was proud of him, and like I saw how hard he was fighting to get top 8 because we played that tournament as well. So I don't know, I kind of wanted to say that. And for Genesis, that felt like the big one where he just was like putting blood, sweat, and tears into all those losers matches and all those game fives. And I feel like really doing that, like, helped him get the W here at his next event. You know what I mean? Like, he just is really forcefully breaking those barriers, I feel like. So
yeah, he had to dig really deep for this one, because there's a lot of storylines going into it. Like, it's mute, you know, and like Shattuck's been beating him recently. I think he's won like 5 of the last 7. If we don't include the sets they played this tournament, it's something along those lines. Like, don't quote me, but Shattuck's been winning more recently, but it's not Mute's first rodeo in a situation like this.
It's a classic scenario.
Yeah, and it's like when you're losing game after game against someone you've been beating recently on the biggest stage, when it's finally your time, it wears on you. You're like, dude, like, this can't be the time that I'm losing. Like, why not at a local? Why not at a regional? And I'm just watching the games just progressively not get closer. And then, I don't know, he got one good one, and he just dug deep, and it was a great second set. That first set was brutal, but it was a great second set to really close out the event. And I don't know, I was just really proud to see that he had it in him, because that's where a lot of players would fold. They would just, you know what, I can't do it. Like, this is his tournament. Mute got it. GG's. But kid was able to dig deep, and that's something that will take you very far when you're competing.
Yeah, it's such a incredible opponent. Also very happy for Mutace as well. Also, I think all three of us, and I think Charles too, huge Mutace fans, obviously, in the chat. Huge Peach fans. All that broken ass character, but really, really strong.
No, wait. Not a Peach fan. It's more like a sign of, like, respect. I'm not gonna explain it. Like, I think Peach is super broken, but big Mute fan. Big Mute fan.
Either way, yeah. Still a fan of Mute. Oh, there he is. Hey.
That's my goat.
Chuck in the building. Signing on.
Remember when Lights Out? What up?
Oh, yeah. Why didn't you join us? You don't give us any clips. You got to join. Charles, give us the angle.
Basically,
we can't do it.
Was Mute did a great job as well. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Has, because you had a handful of reverse 3-0s in this bracket, and that, which also leads into me transitioning just to talk about, like, Syrup and Zomba and stuff like that. Like,
damn,
Syrup had a close set with Mute and lost 3-2, but Syrup's been doing fantastic. Like, Zomba and Syrup and players like that and Jackal, like, really putting our region on the map. So
You stole mine that I wanted to give a shout out to. It was Syrup 100%, because losing Winterside, losing to Mute game 5, and then in losers 3-0 in Cosmos, game 5 against Ashimo, taking it down, and then game 5 against the Buzz is where Syrup lost. But the thing I loved about that set is Syrup was down 0-2 as Steve and switched to Ness and almost reverse 3-0, like, almost like the true. I was obviously mad at Syrup for beating Ashimo, of course. Like, I was upset about that. But then as he was reverse 3-0ing to Buzz with Ness, I was like, wait, hold on a second. This is some hero stuff right here. So yeah. I really enjoy that. And I'm glad Syrup had a good tournament, because typically I see Syrup doing well in your region, right? In your neck of the woods, and beating players like you or beating players like Jackal, which is so impressive. And doing well against, like, Light and Meister and having all these close sets. So I'm glad he was able to take some big names in the loser's bracket there, especially Ashimo, which is really, really impressive. The other thing I was going to say, too, is that I thought Mute was such a great final opponent for Shattuck, because similar to Syrup, where it really does take a village to build up, like, top players. Like, I can't really think of one that played in, like, a remote region and didn't have tough weeklies or tough regionals to go to all the time, or other really good players to talk to and play against. So shout-outs to Shattuck's entire region. Mutace, they play a ton. It was such a great and kind of poetic final opponent for Shattuck on his way to his first national win. But Shattuck's had to fight against so many good opponents in his region, in Texas. He's had to fight against so many great players. Whether they're just regional threats, it's a strong state, or if they're, sorry, I shouldn't say just regional threats, it's a strong, strong opponents there, but regional opponents to the top level opponents in Mutace and Lima, like, just so many good players to teach Shattuck how to play and to get better. So, and I like when Shattuck played against you at Genesis, I've always been a Shattuck believer, of course. Shout out to Daddick too. We were talking about Daddick before we fired up the podcast. Yeah. Love our supportive parents. He's the man. Talk to him at every single major I see him. I'm always excited to see him. great dude. The thing is when Shattuck got kind of salty at you, Gavin, when you guys were playing at Genesis, I was like, damn, the kid's got it in him. Because he always puts out like this wholesome image of like, you know, he's like a nice kid, and he is. But bro, he's got that fight in him. He's got that dog in him 1,000%. And I saw him getting frustrated with you at Genesis. I was like, this kid's the real deal, 1,000%. I had to see that from him. I had to see the meanness a little bit.
He dug deep in all of his sets. Marcus and I were talking about that. It's a great point. And I saw a little bit of that from Syrup too. And I thought I really appreciated it because he's been doing great. And I think he has a super bright future. He has a very bright present as well. Like, he's been doing great. But yeah, I just shout to Zomba, Jackal, Syrup. They do so well. And I'm glad they're doing well.
My bad. Okay. What up? It's Charles or Chuck. Cirque was crazy. I think obviously you guys probably talked about it already, but like Shattuck winning obviously is crazy. He's been doing so well, and to see the improvement this fast is crazy. I knew he was gonna get a big win eventually, but I feel like the last time we were talking about Shattuck, it's like, man, he needs to breach into those top fours more consistently and stuff like that. And this essentially burst of momentum to come into this tournament after getting the top eight at Genesis and then going into winning Cirque. And let me remind you, I mean, there was a lot of insanely high seeded players here, even though they didn't make it in the top eight, right? Mia, Light, stuff like that. It still was an insanely stacked tournament, and he actually had to take out Mia. The win on Mia is huge. And I think America in general is starting to figure out certain characters that have been very destructive in just the game overall, but especially Japan, right? So I think America's performance overall has been pretty surprising lately. And the fact that we had an all Texas grand finals is wild to say, considering the level of talent here. So, I mean, shout outs to Texas, shout out to Static and Mute doing an incredible job. I also want to shout out, obviously Mute did so well. I think the evolution of Peach is so fun to watch. I know some people think, Peach is a little slower when it comes to neutral and stuff like that, but I really appreciate the gameplay. I think the way Mute used Stitch in one of the sets, where just kind of like Z dropping out of shield with it, confirming up air drag down into a Stitch confirm to get the stocks and stuff like that, were fantastic, incredible. So we're really seeing the meta change, and I think Game & Watch has always been weak to sword characters, but we're starting to see the specific sword characters that are doing well versus Game & Watch. And I'm kind of scared for Mia's lineup, because Mia's lineup is Game & Watch and Steve, and on paper both those characters lose to really
wait and sword fighter. Come right. on
lock
Charles.
In,
What's
lock a- in. Right. There we go.
Bring out the sword fighter, of he course did. Right. So
we did go.
I mean, that I think that is really interesting, in a sense that Mia is going to have trouble. And I think the lineup on paper is like, okay, Game & Watch and Steve are just really strong characters, but against a character like Corrin or Cloud, just really long disjoints, they're going to do well against both of his characters. So I'm really interested to see what Mia is going to bring out for that. I guess the answer is sword fighter. I don't know if that really covers those matchups at all, but I mean, we'll see.
Something,
bro. That Mii sword fighter down tilt kind of crispy, bro.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, you thinking you, it got you looking at him or what?
Well, like, you can low key mash that joint.
Oh yeah. You'd be like, ooh. The thing I really liked about Mia this tournament, his edge guarding was so good this tournament. I know he had a lot of close sets that he ended up losing, but he just looked like he's getting sharper and sharper off stage, and obviously not the result he wanted, but I still think there were some really great takeaways from his gameplay this weekend that I actually enjoyed watching. I'm a Game & Watch hater, but I definitely had to give it up when, dude, he was edgeguarding Shattuck, and I was like, how does Shattuck ever recover here? Which is insane. Like, still taking advantage of the fact that Corrin's recovery, still not amazing, despite the buffs that happened however long ago.
Right.
Yeah. That recovery pretty mid.
It's meh, yeah.
It's decent.
It's decent, but that brings me to actually a good question I saw. Actually, I don't even know if it's a good question, but I saw my man Riddles today tweeted, Corrin's better than Aegis. All right, are we for real?
I'm not playing this game.
You are, though, is the thing.
No.
We got a podcast.
Oh, no. I'm never going to say Aegis is worse than Corrin.
Thank you. Okay, there you go. Same.
I'm not Charles. Trolling. I'm not playing this mini game.
Nope, not doing it. It's just...
Sorry, Riddles.
there's no way. I mean, I'm just a very on paper guy, and Aegis is probably one of the most on paper aside from Steve, but it's just on paper ridiculous. And I still don't, I think Mithra is not even 50% developed in tournaments. Not to call out Aegis players or anything, but yeah, essentially that's what I'm doing. I watch what Void's Mithra does, and obviously Void isn't going to come to tournaments and execute on that, just because I think Void doesn't play the game enough to keep up with the experience in the current meta and stuff like that. He's just busy doing other stuff. It's cool when he shows up here and there, but he's not fully committed to the game, right? And the fact that Void's I kind of play this game Mithra is doing conversions and stuff and way more optimized edgeguards and stuff like that than the tournament going Pyromithra is, to me, that's concerning. I know Void's very talented, but I just feel like Mithra as a character overall is so underdeveloped, man. I can't see Khorne being better than Pyromithra. No way. Like, not even close. Not even close.
I think people have such a hard time judging characters that were buffed over a time during like quarantine and COVID and all that. Cause right. I think it really messes up the view of, wow, look what was happening before. And then there's like this big block of time where things were weird. And now there's actual tournaments and the game is completely different. It didn't have that chance to gradually get to the point to where I think people have extreme opinions sometimes in like one direction or the other, where it's like, what the heck? Byleth wasn't doing anything really. And now Leo's like winning with Byleth when there was like this huge chunk of time where like things were gradually happening, but it doesn't really get looked at as much like that because it was like there's patches and quarantine and online tournaments. And so it makes it so weird to the point where I think people might be a little drastic sometimes. Cause I think in my opinion, like this isn't even about like Khorne doing well or anything. I think it's been on the show many times before where like from day one of Ultimate to now, which is funny because I'll even add B to this because we both actually thought Khorne was pretty damn good before she ever got any buffs. I think a lot of us thought that.
And then Leo started bringing it out, right? So it's like
does get buffs and it makes it even more obvious. So I think people have a hard time remembering how important buffs and nerfs are, especially buffs in Ultimate, I would say. I think that's why people are very drastic when they talk about Cloud. I think it's very drastic when they talk about Byleth and Khorne. So it's interesting. And it happened at such, like, even with like some DLC characters, right? You know, like, Steve is a character that has such a crazy impact, but he was released at a time where he didn't have a chance to have that impact immediately. It just makes things really foggy and weird. But yeah, Aegis is not TLDR. Aegis is better than Khorne. Even if the next tournament has 8 Khorne's in top 8, I think none of us
8 here Khorne's.
Well,
we might talk about it then, actually.
Nope.
8 is ridiculous. No.
All right. Khorne's the best character collision? In the game if there's 8 Khorne's in top 8 at a P tier.
A collision?
At a P tier? True. At a P tier.
8 Khorne's in top 8.
All the people in top 8 are going to be like, all right.
Everyone bring out your pocket Khorne's.
Over.
Netify session with Shattuck or something.
All right, man. We got to talk about it. It's not looking good for Mia this year. It's not. Like, I looked at this Genesis. I looked at that Genesis placement. I'm looking at this. I forgot Cirque placement. It's getting a little weird, man. You think the pressure's getting to him? Like, what's going on? It's just.
I think, it's his character lineup. I think his character. I've always thought about his character lineup. Like, man, I feel like there's late game. Like, you got to pay late game for that lineup. Like, it's going to be good, you know, 1 or 2 years before. But nowadays, man, it's just there's a lot of disjoints. And I think the counterplay versus Game & Watch and Steve is evolving as well. People are figuring out which characters do well. They are understanding the counterplay. And it's funny because our last Patreon content for last week, it was me, Gavin, and Larry. And we were predicting our top 5. And all 3 of us had me in the top 5. And I'm like, dang, do I have to retract that statement? Like, what's going on?
It's early.
It is early, yeah. But the fact that he's not breaching in the top 8 is concerning. Like, when you miss out on multiple top 8s, to be a contender for top 5, your shit's got to be clean, bro. To be top 5, it's got to be squeaky clean. So, it's rough.
This is slightly off topic, but for me personally, I'm going to be honest. When I go into a tournament and like Akola and me are a part of it and I'll probably have to play them, like you have to beat them if you want to win. Like, especially with my experiences of losing to them quite a few times, like I'm truly viewing them as like, you know, put my game face on, final boss, like they're not going to make any mistakes. They play like really crazy characters. Like, so my mindset going into that is like pretty intense, right? And I just thought Mia was having a fun time and I was glad to see it because I genuinely, I just thought he was having a good time. This isn't about the winning or losing, but I was glad to see that from him. Not saying he wasn't having a good time before, but like, you know, I saw like a lot of the NA players having a good time with Mia and stuff like that. And like that like warmed my heart a bit. And I think regardless, like, I don't know. Like he'll bounce back regardless of how he feels about it. I don't know if he feels good or bad about it. I don't know what he took away from it, but I will say he'll be perfectly fine. And I can tell he loves the game and he was having a good time and all that stuff. Like he's going to be fine. And I don't know. It's slightly kind of on topic, kind of off topic, but that's just something I noticed. Like regardless, and he did get second to Light at the Invitational. That was perfectly fine without even going Game of Watch. Like,
yeah.
So that just like that grand final specifically showed me like a level of confidence slash like relaxation slash like he's not feeling like insane pressure. Like he didn't even go Game Watch. Like I think he'll be perfectly fine, to be honest. Like it's not even about this year or anything. I just mean in Smash in general, I think he has a good head on his shoulders and he's clearly very strong at the game because, like, you know, some inside information. That dude is good with random.
Oh, yeah. I saw him at Genesis.
He plays Game & Watch. He has fundies, bro.
I saw him at Genesis playing in the back room, like, warming people up, and he was just going every random character. Like, his Incineroar was nice. Like, he was warming someone up for Skyjay, like, all the shit. He could play. Also, to be clear, he made top 8, but...
Seventh.
He did. It was close, though. Yeah.
And yeah, then, I made the same mistake at first too, because there was like two different streams happening, and I wasn't sure what placing he got, but he did get seventh. But yeah, I just wanted to say that. I just thought that was important. Like, no. I feel like he's really settling in, and like I don't know.
He's also putting himself out there too, so I give props to Mia. He does not have to travel at all.
Agreed.
He could stay in Japan. He could farm rankings from Japan and have everyone else come to him. But he is traveling a lot, especially like the beginning of this season. So shouts to any player that doesn't really have to travel for world rankings, but they just want to get out there and get the grind on. And I also think, you know, Game & Watch losing to sword characters, like I think sword characters do have an advantage, but I also think it's a very basic way of thinking about the matchups and stuff. When you look at Game & Watch's tools overall, dash attack and back are really good burst options. And dash attack goes low to the ground. It anti-airs. It's a very, very good move for breaking zones. I know Game & Watch isn't the fastest character, but Game & Watch, it's very active. It can anti-air a lot because it's low profiling. Even just like doing a raw back air, you have a pseudo sword move being back air because of the disjoint. So you can call out sword characters for setting up jumps, for doing falling aerials and stuff like that. So I think Game & Watch is very equipped to beat sword characters. I still think the overall, you have to change up your strategy a little bit because you like run up shield just isn't as strong against sword characters, right? And Game & Watch thrives very heavily off of being one of the few characters that can still run up shield in ultimate, and it's a strong option. Not a lot of characters can run up shield and have it be a strong option. So I think you just have to deviate a little bit from what your usual strengths are, and it's completely fine. And I think Mio will figure it out. I don't think he needs another character for sword characters. I feel like he can use Game & Watch against sword characters. I think Steve's a little bit more rough. I would personally tough it out with Game & Watch over Steve against sword characters, but most sword characters don't have good recoveries, right? So your offstage is going to be crazy against sword characters most of the time.
I think Mia was already the first Game & Watch to show us how good Game & Watch could be versus some sword characters in the first place. So who's to say he won't do it again? Side comment. Been thinking about this one. I was thinking I was going to say this on the podcast this week.
Oh, you're thinking.
Corrin's fair bear clears Wolf's fair bear to such a ridiculous degree. Bro, not only is Corrin's back air way too fucked up, Corrin's fair bear confirmed at the ledge is so annoying. That shit kills at like 75 or some shit.
Don't forget Nair Bear too, man. You got options.
Bro, Corrin is such a jump scare, I killed you character. Like, when you're fighting Corrin and you die, it's always like, oh shit. Like, you, like that back air has like way more range than you're ready for. And like the pin just sometimes killing you without the kill screen and all that. Like you just get jump scared by Corrin. Like, she's so strong. Like, God,
I think there's a little bit more counterplay to the bear, though, because I think most people are autopiloting DI out against Corrin, Nair Bear, or Fair Bear, because you instinctually, you can DI in to live longer, because you'll create more distance between you and the blast zone. So that's one of the confirms where you actually want to DI in, because usually DIing in is bad because the confirm lasts longer. But I think most players autopilot the DI out because that's what you do against in most scenarios. But I don't think it does make a difference by like a couple percent. But I think Corrin counterplay is still being optimized, even like the whole pin thing with the A landing or the jump. There's room to grow for Corrin counterplay.
I agree with some of that. Especially players are quick to jump off ledge versus Corrin.
And it's you're scared. You're terrified.
No, I understand why they do it. And I've fallen to this too, like getting fair bared at 60 because I jumped off ledge too preemptively. But it is something to be like, if you're playing Corrin and you find yourself dying to those confirms in the corner at the ledge, you got to chill out when you're in disadvantage. You got to try to play it smarter. But Corrin is not only confirming that fair bear more, it's because it's way easier to get that. Like, landing Corrin's forward air is 300 gajillion million times easier than landing Wolf's forward air.
Yeah. Speaking of Wolf's forward air, bro, you guys see Sure Hyper close out that set against Epic Gabriel, by the way? Anyone else watch that set?
The Wolf Flash, I saw.
Yes, dude, that was so sick. That was such a good set. Sorry, I was just, you talking about Wolf confirms is the first thing I thought of.
Also, like, the weird thing about Corrin is if you're not at the perfect percent for, like, out of the range of it, if you DI in against forward air, you just get hit by charge neutral B and you just die. So, that confirm is also much tighter and harder to hit, so.
It's right, and if you buffer like turnaround for the back air or like a dash roar, then you're not going to get the chomp the right way, right? So you're at least testing their reaction to your DI, but I mean, there's layers and layers of counterplay. Man,
Shout outs to Shadex footstool down airs versus Mia. That I think that got him the set for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked how he was
footstooling. And he wouldn't dare sometimes. So
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, I like that. If he felt unsure about it, he would just footstool, get out of there. And then Corrin Nair is a pretty respectable landing option. So you have to just kind of, like, you can still try to press it, but you have a decent amount of frame advantage because they still have to go through the footstool animation. But yeah, Wolf just feels like the expiration date has come to, man. Just feels out of date, bro. Expired top tier.
He's so cool, though.
He's so sick.
I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
Marcus has faith.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think Falco's better than Wolf. I think that's cap, but.
So here's the cool thing. So I'm pretty sure if I'm wrong on this, it's by a very small amount, and I'm pretty sure I'm right. I think when you footstool, you have 21 frames to work with, and Corrin's down air is frame 12. So that's why Shattuck can use that type of situation to sometimes footstool and do nothing, and then sometimes footstool and have the time to get it. He has some room to breathe. And it's such a cool strategy. And like you said, even if he doesn't go for that down air, even if like the person who got footstooled tries to reposition themselves to make the person comfortable, Corrin has some ways to fight out of that type of situation, which is nice. And it's always something I wanted to use. But one of the hard things with Sephiroth, something I always wanted to use with Sephiroth, but Sephiroth's down air is frame 19.
You got to go right into it, yeah.
So like there is like some option select type stuff, but in the heat of the moment, it's not as flexible. So I think Shattuck does a great job of when you do have those numbers to work with, like showing what you can do. So that should was just really cool. And Korn's Downer, it is the type of move you would think would be pretty bad, but they've really pushed that move to its limits, to be honest. The heights where they, like, you know, go into like a spot dodge or a down tilt when they like get like the no lag landing from high up, and it does do a lot of damage. So it's interesting that Korn just is just really well rounded. Like, there's really not a move that is not useful. So, in my opinion, I think her most underrated move is actually Jab One, because
a lot of range.
A lot of jabs, even with sword characters, don't always use that disjoint to its biggest potential for the jab. And Korin's uses a disjoint, and it does that type of jab where it brings you in. And this is something Shattuck is actually also the best at with Korin, is the way he hit confirms those jab ones with the disjoint. It is such a good thing to do when you're trying to find the middle ground between offense and defense in some situations. And, you know, like imagine you use down tilts or tilts in general in those situations all the time. There would be situations where you like need some like frames to work with. So having those jabs and being able to hit confirm it into the jab two is so nice. And since the jab one has so much range, it's really good. And that's why you often see Shattuck do just the 1-2-3 jab rather than the rapid jab, because he's kind of holding it in a hit confirm type of way and using it with the disjoint. I'm kind of rambling a bit, but it's I play against Korin a lot, and I also talk with Korin players a decent amount on like improving. So that's like some of the ideas I've given out. But yeah, like the footstools were an MVP versus Mia specifically. And the other thing I wanted to mention earlier, we were talking about Texas as a region. Texas has some of the best like Lima's like the best Bayo you could watch in a lot of ways. Like Bloom is like right there too. But and if you're like trying to learn or like you watching good players, like Mute, Lima, Shattuck, like it's some of the best gameplay for those characters you'll ever see. Like, and Haz was talking about like how important it is for players to improve in environments like that and how valuable it can be. And that's a big reason why I'm so good at Smash too, is like I just got thrown right into like the fire with like a million good players. So like, It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I mean, think about how many upsets Florida got this weekend. You know, there's so many big upsets. I mean, you want to talk about players that didn't even make top eight. There's so many of them that it's unbelievable that they didn't make a top eight. And I think it's a good time because so Paris, like I'm mad at me at Genesis because I made a tweet about you, Gavin, about how cool it was that you stuck with it at Genesis and fought out like this tough matchup and stuff. And Paris goes, "You never do that shit for me." All right, Paris. Well, you got it. I'll get it for you this weekend. You got it, man.
That's all he has.
You know, my big three. Well, I've been he's right. He's, you know what's funny? Is he said that. I searched my tweet history to make sure he wasn't right. I wasn't wrong. But I always give you and Mars props. And I was like, and you guys are my big three. You guys know that. I always refer you guys the most to tournaments more than anyone else. And Paris deserves props because he did the Invitational and he won it, which incredible marathon. Sets, by the way. It was so fun to watch him obviously tear through that bracket. It was just a good bracket period. Yeah. So I'm really happy he did that because you don't have to do that at all. But he did, and he won the Invitational. And then he had a bad main bracket. And you know Paris. I mean, on the surface, to the public, he might come off as this goofy, like, doesn't care about anything guy. But you know, he takes losses very hard. Like, he cares a lot. He's a passionate competitor. He really is. So I was really happy to see him bounce back and to put things into perspective and be like, dude, I went all out on Friday. I underperformed in the main bracket. But instead of being pissed off and being upset all weekend, he went out there and he said he owned his losses. He did a good job. He did the podcast live. He killed it. Like, I'm just really happy with him. And he's another one of those guys that I've just watched go from regional threat to national threat to top level top five player. Like, it's just, you know, and stuff like that goes a long way. And he just had a good perspective about it. He was joking about it with, you know, Cosmos and Phil, and I'm just really proud of him for doing that shit and for winning the Invitational. So there you go, my guy. It's better than a tweet, I think. You got on the podcast. Cool. So
speaking of Cosmos, let's give Cosmos a shout
definitely
out.
He was on my list, dude. 1000%. A lot of 3-0s too.
Be getting flamed by the world, bro. People be cooking. He don't know these people. It's just boo, boo, boo. He just be taking it.
He takes it like a champion, bro.
He goes back out there.
It's gotta piss him off.
He gets 65th again. He locks back in. I got 65th. I'll see you at the next event. Hey, he did pretty well this weekend. I think he got 9th, right? In the main bracket. Yeah, he got 9th. And like, I just know because I'm one of them. There are people blasting his ears. Cosmos, where's your corn? I'm one of them.
I didn't know where this was going,
but this sticks makes... it out with Aegis no matter what, and I respect that. Like, yeah. I've seen him try it. He's picked up corn a few times, but he just doesn't feel like it's his character. And, like, people are, they probably tell, bro, just play corn. It'd be so much easier. Like, you would be the best corn. But, like, he wants to play Aegis, and he's going to try to make Aegis work. And
yeah.
He's going to go back out there and fight that fight, and people are going to clown on him because he SD'd or whatever. But that's a strong competitor to go back out there after the infinite SDs and people blasting them. Yeah.
Like, they're such nice guys and they're great competitors and they take things so well, winning or losing. Like, they're very in the moment. They, you know, next turn, they just try hard at the next tournament, all that stuff. And I think with Cosmos too, it's also a bit of a weird parasocial thing where they see his friends being harsh on him. And like, it becomes a trend for strangers to do too. Yeah. And the cool thing about it is Cosmos, like, takes it so well. And, like, he never, like, lashes out at the community or anything. Like, so, like, just shouts to him. And I think it goes to it shows in his character choice as well, like you said, Marcus. Like, he has faith in himself and what his game plan is. And, like, if he wants to do something, he'll do it. But it's going to be on his own accord. So that's, like, so very respectful of both of them. And I think what Haz said is beautiful, too. You know, it's pretty chaotic to win on Friday for Light and then lose early in the main bracket the next day and still bounce back, have a pretty solid run, do the podcast. Like I know how that kind of feels when you're like kind of working at the event and playing in the event. And it's helped me grow as a person, like having the occasional extra responsibility outside of playing the game. And Light's the perfect candidate for that. Cause he's always taking losses really well. He's always very nice guy. He's super funny. Like, and he's helped me a lot too, which is funny because in some ways, sometimes I don't deserve it. Cause if I'm like practicing with Light, I'll be like, bro, your character is fucking bullshit. Like, but like he's just a good competitor and a good friend. And he's helped me a lot with that kind of thing. And like kind of chilling out in that aspect. And you mentioned like sticking it out at Genesis with Diddy, and like, he's the biggest reason why I did that in the first place. Because we had a really important conversation. At least it was important to me. I reached out for him and I was really asking for help. And he wanted me to go solo Diddy at a few majors and just like take it from there and stuff like that. And he had the whole like spoiled by talent line, which kind of stuck with me. And yeah, that's why I did it. So
he's really Mr. Solo Main. Like he tells everyone now, after he gave Cosmos that advice to play Inkling, he's now everyone should just solo main, which to be fair is his own advice. But then things like this happen. And again, more credit to him. I know, Marcus, I know. It's
Marcus and I had another conversation about this, but it's not even about whether you're doing it or not. It's just about like how helpful and everything. So
He and this is more credit to him, is he got 3-0'd by Applewiz, who plays Ice Climbers, which is obviously a dog shit matchup for Fox, but he still got 3-0'd, and you still have to hold that. And Light, instead of being like, yeah, I'm thinking about picking up Wolf and all this stuff, he goes, yeah, I didn't know the matchup. Apple said he'd help me play it and figure it out a little bit more, so I'm going to do that. I was like, wow, like, crazy props to you to get on the mic and say that.
He's always doing that, yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice, man. Also, Cola, dude, speaking of Limitational, Cola at the end of the stream, that was some of the hardest I've laughed at a Smash. He says, good night, everyone, after he goes on that insane rant, dude. I love Cola. I was so happy to see him back, bro. I wish he did better in bracket, but he's just such a great presence to have at tournaments. He really is. Like, he just brings this energy that, like, it's very, like, kind of Mars energy in bracket, but then he brings his own Cola energy that no one else can touch outside of bracket. Like, very, very different vibes, which is awesome.
Bro, that's why I love Cosmos. Too. When Cola beat Cosmos.
Yeah, we messaged each other, Marcus.
He's like, you carried Aegis, but then like the mic was cutting out, so it's, you carried Aegis.
Dude, it was so fun.
Dude, Cosmos gets under people's skin. Like, even when I play with him, like, some days you just can't handle all that, bro. Like,
all that myth or frame data.
Like, I don't know what it is about Cosmos, but people get tight sometimes, including myself. But yeah, like, Cola's presence is amazing. Zomba's, like, same idea where it's just, like, it's a good time, like, super funny. I don't know. It was a good weekend for Smash. Like, the whole, like, a big Invitational Friday, and then you just, like, it was just a treat and like a nonstop weekend of everything and lots of high level players.
Speaking of presence, my boy Da Buzz was there, and yes. That joint, whenever he's there, you could just feel it, bro. Like, I was thinking about people who I missed being at the event. Obviously, Gavin, love watching Gavin. And there was another player whose presence, like Sonics, like there's like those types of players, right? You're like, oh gosh, this is going to be one of those events where people are fighting for their lives. but man, when Da Buzz is at an event, like, it feels like you just are seeing something magical happen that you won't get to see too many times in your lifetime. It's really
interesting. You went three characters this tournament. It's been a while since we saw the whole lineup come out from Da Buzz. So I thought that was really fun to watch. Seeing the I can't remember the last time I've seen the Olimar come out, or the Alf or whatever he was using. But yeah, it was cool to see all three characters.
He had some confident character switches, which I think is really cool. Like game five, switch characters, or he's up 2-1, but he tries a character, then switches back. Like, and it's not even about what the outcome was. It's about the confidence in the moment to, like, he clearly had a plan and he's sticking to it. And if things go wrong, he's not afraid to go with plan B. And I think he had a level of flexibility that he doesn't normally have, I would say. Or there's times where you wish he had more of it. And obviously there's the thing where, like, he does play characters that are, once you're in that high part of bracket, he's often playing the character that's probably lower on the tier list and stuff like that in a lot of situations. So it's a difficult life, but I think he had an air of confidence to him. He had a lot of game plans, some flexibility, and it's like Marcus said, when he's there, you can feel it. And I think he was, I feel like there's, over the last couple of years, like, there's certain times where he can be very tense, very stressed out. And like I said, it also can be a lot of it being like he's on the back foot at the character select screen a lot of the time. I think he had some confidence and some relaxation to him this weekend. So
I think, again, credit to him, because this formula that the CFL tournament series gives us between the Livitational the first day and then the regular bracket the next day, Da Buzz had a pretty rough Livitational. I think he went 1-2 in pools, and then he lost to Ashimo because he started in losers, and that was it. He beat Webb, but I think that was about it. So it's kind of like the opposite of Light, where he had a really rough Livitational and then turned it around the next day. I just like this because it's like easy talking points and storylines to see how players adapt to. If you want to play in that Invitational, it's going to be tough matches all night, like really good players. You don't get like an easy, like, you know, I could stomp this player and kind of take the match off and like relax for a half hour and practice my combos and conversions and think about the game. So you're fighting for your life every match. And then how do you do that playing until 2 o'clock in the morning against Mi sword fighter? And how do you do that the next day in bracket? Right. I love that stuff, man. It gave players like me a platform to show off and play other characters and do stuff like that, where maybe you don't want to take it super seriously, but I mean, it does matter. So at the end of the day, I thought it was awesome. And as a viewer, usually on Friday, I'm turbo sleep, like, so like snoozing, man. I'm knocked out. Yeah. Drooling, snoring, all that good stuff. I'm done on a Friday. Not this Friday, man. I stayed up for every set. I watched every set that I could. The lineup was amazing. And I like this idea of inviting players to an Invitational and just hosting it the night before. I think that's super cool. It's way better. Don't get me wrong, I love Squad Strike and I love doubles. Like, that's great, but I don't be staying up late for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't happen. So, but this one I was, honestly, might have had a better time watching Livitational than the main bracket. It was close, which I would never say for any other tournament. I don't think that. Well, maybe like Summit had, you know, pools play was arguably more interesting, but the main bracket was so lit. It's hard to even say that. I don't know.
Reminds me of like the MSMs post 2GG sagas. It was before, but MSMs were lit.
Friday,
they were fun. They were fun to watch because we would get to see top players either go pockets or other characters and stuff. And then obviously those MSMs were crazy stacked because a lot of the players that traveled in would stay for the MSM. So kind of the same idea, but flipped in reverse where you get to see it prior. So that's cool.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't watch every single one of those after a major. And since they're West Coast, I would be up until 3 or 4 in the morning watching. If it was a good one, I'd stay up for the whole thing. But and Cali, you guys had such a killer lineup in Smash 4. That was and Florida has the same vibes. They can fill out that bracket with half Florida, like, easily, at least. A lot of really, really good Florida talent there.
It also feels like there's more bang for your buck when like players would travel out to the events if you also stay there for another event prior or afterwards and stuff like
that. It leaves a bigger impact for sure.
Yeah, especially for players like Mia who traveled all the way to East Coast from Japan. Holy shit, that flight sounds insane. So, I mean, it's cool that Mia got to enter multiple brackets, got to even try out the Sword Fighter and stuff like that. Just more value to the players that are traveling out.
Like for me, like I've been to so many tournaments that sometimes the memories can all kind of blend in together. But when tournaments have something like this, right? Like it's a lot easier to like have a lasting impact and memory of an event that like, you know, like I'm going to remember Invitational and Cirque 3 just because like that Friday was like such a lasting impact. So. And then, of course, the major tournament after was as competitive as you'd expect. But I don't know. It's food for thought, I think, for like someone who wants to like make a tournament like something special.
Yeah, and the commentary was great.
Another great top. I thought that's what Gavin was going to say. Another great top eight, too. Like a couple in a row that it's just, it feels like Ultimate is just, weirdly, I felt like we were all so doomer about it going into the end of last year. And now I'm feeling a lot better about it, honestly. I'm feeling really good about where Ultimate is right now. I've been enjoying tuning back in and doing all this stuff. And maybe it's partially we just hit a good stride of events or I don't know. It feels good. It feels good. Or maybe I was just excited to be chilling and watching a tournament for the first time in a little bit. So
I don't know. There's some interesting things going on. I mean, Leo's Joker's back. Man.
Yeah.
I mean,
someone link me the VODs, please. By the way, god damn, man,
it's in the podcast chat for at least top eight.
Okay, another Leo Spargo Grand Finals. I was like, dang, I'm spoiled this weekend. There's so much good Smash going on,
bro. That joint went the distance.
Yeah,
and it was really close. But Spargo got it this time, and it's interesting to see them just going back and forth. I don't know, man. I'm excited. Like, Spargo won an event. I think this is Spargo's first event win this year, right? Because I know, isn't that a crazy thought?
That is a crazy statement.
That's something I was thinking about today, like, prepping for the show. The rankings are kind of crazy right now.
They're
like,
all over the place.
What the hell, man?
Marcus saying that really made it concrete to me that is the case, that it's kind of chaotic and I don't remember the last time it felt so all over the place.
But you know who's safe?
Sonic
at home. Well, Sonic, and Akola. Akola is chilling in his fort in Japan. Just built up the fort. Just all right. You guys can come to me. You guys got to come over this wall. Get to Japan.
You get it in game and out of game, bro.
Yep. He's just like, nope. I'm not leaving. You can come see me. And then we got Leo sniping all the tournaments Spargo's going to. Leo's like, yo, I got to get these Spargo W's, man. I'm like, man, why is it every tournament Spargo's at, Leo's there, bro?
I think it might have been they're both Mexican.
The rankings are...
They're all
dude,
over
dude, it's
the
crazy.
Place,
outside of Akula and Sonics, it's... Nice. Especially with Mia and Spargo not being as consistent as Sonics and Akula. Yeah, it feels a pretty big toss-up after top two. I mean, I still think you have Mia, but I don't know. It's like if you just go off of 2024, where would you put Mia, right? If you're just going off of 2024,
yeah, I don't know.
So far, I don't know. He might be in the top 10, maybe. But
bro, wait, Meister's the best game and watch again. 2024.
2024 is Meister's year. You already know.
I believe he could be, bro. He gets motivated. I guess he gets motivated. He starts going,
in
bro.
Shambles.
I guess
that was the Chris, dude.
The current five would be like what? Like Akola, Sonics,
dude, yeah.
Spargo, Gavin.
I would put probably.
I
Gavin
guess you have to put Zamba, right?
Zamba, yeah.
So that would be probably the five because
Zamba would go in there for me.
Yeah, because he got. A decent place
for 2024, so right?
Won
like
Genesis.
3 months of tournaments.
Yeah, he won Genesis. So.
Genesis is good enough for me.
Yeah, and then you are what? First at LMDM, and then fourth at Genesis.
Yeah.
And Gavin's Spargo's been pretty like, consistent. Like,
yeah. With, Spargo's been like consistent.
Top four, top five. He's yeah, and Spargo has been consistent as well.
He just
yes.
hasn't won. Yeah.
Spargo got like
it's like third,
yeah, yeah.
fifth, first. Like,
yeah.
So, it's very close. It's very close outside of Akul and Sonics. I think they're pretty cemented as top two. but it's close. And honestly, if we're just talking 2024, I would probably put Sonics over Aquila just because of the amount of tournaments that Sonics has gone to and performed at, right? The second at Genesis is huge. And what, I mean, I don't know how many P tiers Japan has already had this year, but I don't, it can't be that much, right? Really?
Maybe happen like every week.
I think it's only been one so far.
I think they have one.
I was going to say, I think the way that the calendar works is that tournaments at the very end of last year count as well. As I remember looking at Watch the Throne, I don't know where that landed.
I think
actually,
Japan and NA have both had one S plus and one P tier so far.
I don't, to me, Sonics is more proven as of 2024. Yeah, so if I were to make a personal ranking, I would put Sonics 1 and then Aquila 2. That's
Sonics
just me
has
personally, but
a second at an S plus, a second at a P tier. Like it's a tough thing to beat. I think it's only going to get harder to beat whatever results he'll bring. So
yeah. Oh, so funny sidebar. I know we're kind of getting towards the end of the episode. So I commentated Coinbox last week, right?
Did you really?
Yeah, I commented with strides, which was a super throwback because I used to do a lot of commentary back with strides in the 2GG days or Smash 4 / early Ultimate days. So that was cool. Probably the person I've commentated the most with in terms of just raw hours. Nope, so that was really cool.
Phil, we'd be claiming you in every major. Get out of here.
But I mean, with strides, it was like a weekly thing. And it was multiple times during a week because we went to so many locals. So, I mean, that's the only reason why I say that. But so we were talking about last week with Larry how people get really salty, especially in SoCal or just like in general at locals, right? And they'll ask to do a money match, right?
Oh, yeah. We talked about this on the show.
Dude, oh my God. So that shit happened at Coinbox. And Stride watched the last Tweak Talks. He's like, you guys just talked about this on the last Tweak Talks with Larry. And so Smargle goes up 2-0, I forget, using Korn or something. What? I don't know if it was Cloud or Korn, but he goes up 2-0 in Chase, and then he tries to close out the tournament with Plant. Loses two games with Plant, and then on the fifth game, he closes the tournament with Plant, right? And Chase immediately in the Start GG chat was like, money match me. And then he was like, money match me any amount. And
any amount.
Dude, my man Spargo, he is fucking goated for saying this. He's like, sure, I'm down. You can choose the amount. And I'll go Plant. And he said he'll go all Plant. I was like, yo, Spargo, that's my fucking guy right there.
Dude, he rules. Chase is very much SoCal. Like, you're for sure, yes. Like, that SoCal culture, like, 1,000. Even before this story, like, just good with a lot of characters, loves randoms, like, just playing a ton of characters, just playing the game and being confident. Like, it is gameplay, too. Like, very, very SoCal, which is very cool to see. Yeah. Dude, Spargo, too, you saw that edit that Phil did on the Spargo clip, by the way.
Zero universe where Chase beats me. I'm sorry.
That shit was so funny. That shit was so funny.
I've never seen that from him.
That confidence, like, so outward.
Just, like, verbally saying it.
Yeah.
And then Spargo won the money match, and I think it was, like, for 100 or something like that. And it was Plant versus Steve, and Spargo won. And I was like, damn, dude.
Beating, I'm not gonna lie, bro.
Steve with Plant, like, damn.
That Plant is OD.
Bro, it's ridiculous.
Like, hit. I saw that. It's funny because Collision's coming up this weekend. And I think the time I, like, saw, like, because he used a lot of it at Collision 2023, like Squad Strike. And, like, I was like, this Plant is actually OD, like, really good. Like,
yes.
like it's the best Plant I've ever seen.
By far.
We close this episode by playing Phil's edit to the Spargo clip. Dude, it is so good.
It's,
like,
this hilarious.
I love it too because Chase is bringing this energy, and, you know, obviously Zomba did too. These kids be talking shit, and I like it. I'm a fan.
That's
obviously.
Good though. I think that's
I
good.
Like it,
good
bro. It's
game.
Healthy. Yeah, and people are like, oh, you can't talk shit. You can't do this stuff. You have to do it the right way, dummies. Like, you can't just sit here and say whatever you want, obviously. There's an art to it, okay? Not everyone's Picasso, you know, like, you can't just get out there and start painting shit, okay? You gotta be able to talk shit. You can't do it wrong.
And Spargo's got a little bit of it too. The fact that Spargo was like, Spargo has that, like, passive aggressive vibe where it's like, sure, you can pick them out. Smile. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, dude, that, come on, man. That was so good. That's so good.
He's genuine is the thing with it. Like, he's OD yes. because he's genuinely, he's not sitting there like, how do I say, like, the meanest or toughest thing right now? He's like, yeah, all right. I don't, like, he's so nonchalant. Like, he just genuinely means it. Like, I will do this for any amount.
He's just like, yeah, sure. How much money do you want to lose? Sure. Like, I'll take however much money you want to lose. Like, go
I've
for
actually
it.
Been, like, looking, like, reaching out to, like, good players to try to, like, find times to play Wi-Fi with them and stuff. Like, just trying to let people know that I want them to reach out to me for games, because no one reaches out to me for games. So I've been trying to set up, like, who I would like to play with and stuff. And Chase was actually one of them. So Chase, if you see this, please reach out to me if you want to play Wi-Fi. Because I know you play Wi-Fi a decent amount, so please, I need more good players to play. Because I play a little bit of Smash Bros, but sometimes it's just, I don't know, I want
to
play.
All right, hold on. A little bit of Smash Bros. You were flexing to me and Marcus, your Smash Bros ranking before we went live, all right?
Top 10 in the world.
Top 10 in the world, and what's your record?
Saying top 10 in the world is very funny.
It is really funny, because it also, yeah. Anyway, what's your record? You're talking about it.
I don't know, bro.
Oh, stop it. Do you want
he
me to say it?
He definitely knows. He definitely knows.
Oh, he told us before we went live.
He has that shit memorized.
No, I didn't tell y'all that.
Marcus is asleep.
Yeah,
isn't it public? Can't people just look it up now?
True.
Yeah, that's what they should do.
All right, well, there you go. We'll talk about it in the Patreon episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that about wraps it up. Collision's coming up. We're going to talk about that on the Patreon for a little bit. Appreciate the support on the Patreon. Like I said earlier, we got a bunch of new patrons over the last day or two, so thank you for that. But yeah, anything y'all want to say before we head out?
I think I'd say is, Charles, you should listen to the beginning of this episode.
Damn, you guys talking shit? That's crazy.
No, it was the exact opposite, which is so funny.
Damn, Chris confirmed talking shit, dude. Don't worry, I always listen to every episode. So
you really?
And I can't believe I got screwed over by daylight savings. Fuck.
Yeah.
I guess yeah.
You
happened
to pop
market.
In a funny way, like you did for Lights Out. Why you do that little favor?
I like just joined up. I was like, I was getting ready to talk about what the Patreon content was gonna be. I was like, all right, cool. Like, what are we gonna do? And then I just saw a topic and you guys were talking already. I'm like, oh fuck, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, I added you, so I thought anyway. Yeah, it's all good. We got next.
I should have came in with the dad cam. Damn it.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was a good and fun episode. But yeah, thank you so much for watching, y'all. We're going to talk about Collision. Have a good one.
Peace.